to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. This week, we sit down with Virginia Valentine, the president and CEO of the Nevada Resort Association, who discusses the devastating effects of the coronavirus pandemic on her members and how the path forward is being considered. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Gin Palace, through a two-way looking glass, you see her hours. You know she has no sense for all your jealousy. In a sense, she still smiles, very sweet. Charged with insults and flattery, her body moves. There is no state or jurisdiction which has been hit harder by the coronavirus pandemic than Nevada. Virginia Valentine has led the Nevada Resort Association since 2011 and has seen some tough times, but nothing like this. The numbers are staggering. Up to 360,000 jobs lost, $5 billion in wages at risk, $2 billion lost in meetings and conventions canceled just in April. A total impact on the state of Nevada of over $22 billion. Since Valentine believes the health and safety of state residents and visitors comes first, so any suitably stunned, but I know there's not a hope in hate. Virginia Valentine, thanks for joining us on the special edition of the podcast today. It's good to talk to you. I wish it was on more pleasant situations, but I think some of the information you will be able to give us will really help out not only the operators and the employees, but the investors and anybody interested in Nevada casinos as well. So thanks for having
me. Thank you, Roger. I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Great. So let's start with a little description of the Nevada Resort Association, just for our listeners and readers who don't know what you do.
Well, we are a trade association, and we represent Nevada's largest resorts. You would be familiar with, I think most people would, with some of our largest members, the Caesars, MGM, Sands, Wynn, Boyd Gaming,
sure.
And
mm-hmm.
Stations, and of course we represent non-restricted licensees who operate resort hotels. All of our members have the integrated resort model,
right,
at both ends of the state, in Washoe County and in Clark County, and we advocate for the industry.
Great. And you've done a great job over the years, got us through the recession and the October 1 shooting. Everybody banded together under the guise of your association, and we got through it. Hopefully that will be the case this time as well.
Been some very interesting times.
No question. So let's talk about the shutdown on March 17th. What were the discussions prior to Governor Sisolak's shutdown order with Wynn and MGM already closed?
Well, there were conversations that went on with operators, particularly those I think who had experience in Macau and had been through closures before.
Sure.
And as you know, prior to March 17th, there were other states that had ordered closures. So some of our members had already been through closures in other states. I think primarily once the decision was made and it was going that direction, it was more a matter of adjusting to shut down, planning for it, and then executing. I don't think it wasn't something where it was actually, do we need to do this or not? I think everyone got on board pretty quick with doing it, and I think a few of them were already planning based on their experience in other states than Macau to shut down, having had experience with COVID there.
Okay. And the NRA was part of the process in speaking with the governor to decide, how it was going to happen?
We were in on some briefings. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we expressed our support for that because our highest concern, of course, is the safety of our guests and our employees and fellow residents. So I think everyone understood and supported the governor's direction.
So how did the industry prepare for the showdown? I mean, it was less than 24 hours when the order went out and everybody was shut down.
Well, as I say, some of them were already planning for it. Some of them were not. We had excellent help from the Gaming Control Board. They streamlined some of the closures. They were very quick to issue guidance on what we needed to do. And so I would say between that and the daily communications with the state and local leaders and the regulatory agencies, we were able to do that pretty quickly. many of the resorts operated properties in areas where they've had shutdowns before, not only for this, but for hurricanes. They've had temporary closures to different events, a few of which you mentioned earlier. So I think for the most part, it happens pretty quickly, pretty seamlessly, and with a lot of help from the state agencies.
Okay, great. So, you know, you sent me a fact sheet on the economic impact, and just give us a brief outline of what it's meant to the casino industry in the state.
Well, as you know, and you've reported, there are all kinds of impacts. This is the state's largest industry, so the hit to state and local governments is expected to be around $1 billion when you consider some of the larger tax revenue sources that are paid by the tourism industry. That would be about $500 million in hotel room taxes, $380 million in gaming taxes, $73 million in entertainment taxes, $46 million in local payroll taxes, and $19 million in local business taxes. The the impacts, I think, will be felt for a long time, and based on our assessment by Applied Analysis, a 30 to 90-day closure could result in something like a 12 to 18-month recovery period.
Yeah, no question about that, and not to mention the job losses, over 100,000 job losses, 150,000 job losses when you count the suppliers and the ancillary industries as well.
Right, and so those indirect impacts, we talk a lot about the jobs directly in tourism, but as you know, there are a lot of indirect jobs that are impacted as well. All of the vendors that work on properties, the restaurants, everything from the laundries to the entertainment venues to the people who supply the suppliers. So it does have a ripple effect to the entire state economy.
Sure, no question about that. So the state of Nevada is more dependent than any other state on taxes from the gaming industry. How long can they go on, without getting most of those taxes?
Well, that's a really big concern for us because the tourism industry is the largest contributor of state and local taxes. And as you know from that report, about 40% of the state's general fund does come from tourism taxes, about 1.8, that's 1.8 annually in industry-specific taxes and fees. So based on the estimate by Applied Analysis, the state and local governments will also take a hit of about $1 billion due to the impact of the virus, and half of that would have gone directly into the state's general fund. So I think the governor is already looking at the impacts to the state budget. He's asking state agencies to review their budget and make cuts now. And so that's going to be happening at the local level also.
Yeah, no question. It's a dire time for the industry. And, you mentioned, the ancillary industries, but even the industries that aren't directly connected with gaming, some of the sales taxes and things of that nature, if the employees and the people who work in the industry aren't able to go out and shop and do the spending they would do in their other industries, I mean, the impact is going to be that much greater.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've long felt that in Nevada, we're all in gaming industry. In one way or another, we're all infected, and I think we're going to see this in the daily lives of every Nevadan, from the impact on funding for schools, funding for essential services, the funding of everything that all the public services that, everything from law enforcement to public safety to parks and recreation. I think you will see impacts across every industry and every public service in the state.
Sure, absolutely. So the response from some of your members has really been extraordinary, from paying employees to varying amounts of time to food contributions, medical masks, millions of dollars for research. The NRA has really been front and center. What do you think that demonstrates about the resort industry?
Well, it's been really inspiring to see the way the industry has responded to all those requests they've had from across the state. And many of our members have seen, they've ceased operations, so there aren't a lot of people on property, and they have been working hard behind the scenes to do everything they can to help those who are in need, from hospitals to first responders to those most susceptible from the virus. Many of them have put programs in place for their employees. Some have set up relief funds to help employees pay bills. Many are extending health insurance benefits through June. Others are even compensating for tips that they would have been likely to earn.
Right.
So the members are doing what they can to help the employees while ensuring that there's a business for them to return to when this closure is ended. I think one of the most important things I did, I think they did, was respond very quickly to when the closures were announced. And one of those things, of course, resulted in they were able to quickly donate truckloads upon truckloads of perishable food to food banks across Nevada to help seniors and school children, homeless, and some of the people who are most vulnerable among us. So they are assessing their inventories daily to see what supplies can be put into the community. As you know, one of the immediate demands was for personal protective equipment, the PPE. Our members have donated a massive number of face masks and the N95 masks, gloves, cleaning supplies, and other personal protective equipment to everything from first responders to nonprofits to the Metropolitan Police Department. They've also donated bleach, cleaning supplies, hygiene kits, toilet paper, paper products, all of that kind of supplies that they had around that they were able to put to use, donated those to a number of organizations and to medical facilities. They've even been tapped to provide linen and roll-away beds to help stand up emergency search facilities and isolation and quarantine areas. I think we probably one of the most interesting stories is the sands flying over personal protective equipment from Macau. I think the Wynn has been very involved in donating those kind of supplies also, and MGM, Boyd Stations, all of the members, big and small, have really stepped up and put just about all their efforts they can into solving the community at this time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing, the response. So I think that really shows the industry in a great light. So
we do keep a running list. I hate to list people who actually made contributions because I know I'll always forget somebody. But right. We are keeping a list, a running tab of some of the industry's efforts, and that can be found on our website at nevadaresorts.org.
iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGamingPlayer offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGamingPlayer, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast. A couple of weeks ago, they passed the CARES Act, which was a $2 trillion act that would help companies in distress, certainly in Nevada, all over the country. But there were still some loopholes in the gaming industry. Are you satisfied with how that's been resolved, or has it actually been completely resolved yet?
CARES Act was a good start. We know we're going to need additional action in the future. The delegation has been working really hard on the CARES Act. They were in close communication with us throughout the process. They asked for input. They wanted to really understand which measures would help the industry immediately, particularly cash flow, and help the industry get back on its feet so we could go back to employing all those workers and making those kind of tax contributions we do to the local and state economy.
Sure.
They were instrumental in ensuring that Congress didn't carve the gaming industry out of many of those programs like had happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's a positive first step with some helpful measures, and we're continuing to work with the federal delegation on addressing the SBA's archaic guidelines that preclude certain small businesses that do business with the gaming industry or receive a certain percentage of their revenue from gaming activities from participating in that Paycheck Protection Program.
Right. Well, that's a really important issue to a lot of your members, and if they don't qualify, I mean, what are they going to do? Is there a chance that some of them will go out of business?
Well, I think they're going to seriously have some challenges coming back online. So hopefully we'll be able to get this fixed, but that Paycheck Protection Program, as you know, is really a key part of encouraging employers, incentivizing them to keep people at work or to bring them back to work.
Right. Yeah, I just saw a casino in Lake Tahoe has said they're not going to reopen, which is a shame. And hopefully that won't happen too often as we come back from this.
Yeah, I saw that, and again, these are just, I think it just speaks to what difficult times that the gaming industry is operating in these times right now.
Right. So Nevada is on lockdown till April 30th. Are you confident that it won't be long after that until the lockdown is lifted?
At this point, we don't know, and I can't speculate. We're going to follow the direction from the governor, and he's going to rely on the science and his medical experts. Obviously, we'd like to see it lifted. Probably one of, you know, the worst things could happen is it's prematurely lifted, and we are faced with another outbreak. So we're going to look to getting it right when the reopening does occur, and I think that's the most important thing now for the safety of our guests, our employees, our residents, and really the reputation industry long term.
Well, the state has been relatively fortunate so far with a fairly low number of cases, as certainly as compared to other states, and a relatively low number of deaths as well. I guess we're concerned about the visitors that would come to Nevada that might bring it back with them.
Well, I think we have to look at this as something that's not really just going to be based about Nevada, because for large resorts to reopen and to operate efficiently, people have to feel safe to travel everywhere within the United States and abroad. And until people feel comfortable coming back, we can't start that recovery process. So it's going to be really important that we get it right, not just in Nevada, but that we get it right for all those destinations where people come from to visit us.
Sure. So when the governor says it's okay to reopen, do you see it opening in stages, maybe the locals casinos first and then maybe some of the strip casinos?
It's going to be interesting to see how that works. Again, some of the resort properties here, as you know, they have thousands of hotel rooms. So I do believe that it will be a kind of rolling opening when it happens, that you'll see parts of hotels open, that they will increase as they build some momentum and as visitors start to return. I think the locals' properties probably do have a little bit of an advantage, as visitation will probably come first from people who are already here, and then from people who want to drive in, and then eventually back to people who want to fly in, drive in, and live here.
And I would expect there'd still be a lot of the social distancing requirements that we saw really before this thing started. They would turn off two of every three slot machines, three people at a table game, that kind of thing. Do you think that's going to be part of the stipulation when they do reopen?
I do, and I think, you know, other states and the governor's office, I think, they're starting to look at those things now. So they're going to want to make sure that there's not another outbreak. They're going to want to make sure that some of that social distancing remains, at least for some period of time. So I think we will see some guidance on what opening looks like from the governor's office.
Okay, great. So tourism is the state's leading industry. I mean, how long can the state endure a sharp turndown like this?
Well, that's going to be a really difficult thing to know, and of course it's going to depend on how long it lasts. If you look back at everything from 9/11 to October 1st to the Great Recession, one thing we know is that it does come back. It can take a long time. It can be painful. It can require some pretty deep budget cuts. But it's a resilient industry. Eventually people will get comfortable again, and I think we will rebound. I mean, people want to travel. People still want to come to Las Vegas, and I think and Nevada in general. And I think when they safe to return, I think they will.
Sure. So another impact of this this crisis is the cancellation of conventions. I was talking to somebody today who didn't think the convention business would respond for at least a year, but that seems like a long time. But I guess, you know, it might be logical. So what will it take to get these meetings back to Vegas on a consistent basis?
Well, I think it's going to take people feeling safe to travel. There's going to have to be, even after all the safety issues are addressed, there's got to be a high level of consumer confidence that it is safe to return. People are still going to want to meet in person. Now, some of those meetings may look smaller over time. We're told that some conventions have rebooked. Some of them may happen a little bit different format. But I think they will recover. So convention attendees, you know, they're very important to us. They spend more than leisure visitors. They fill hotel rooms during the week. So they're a really important part, of course, of the business model. So small businesses also rely on convention event business. There's everything from the people who work at these events to set them up, advertise at these events, and beyond just displaying their products. So we know some shows will reschedule. Others will probably not be able to reschedule. But the LBCVA and the resort sales teams are working very, very hard with meeting organizers to rebook their business and to bring them back.
Sure. Great. Great. So what would you say to the employees in Nevada who are laid off now and are anxiously awaiting the reopening of the casinos? Is this something that's going to take a long time to really get everybody back to work?
Well, I would say be patient. We want them back at work as quickly as possible, but we want to get this right too, and we want to make sure when they do come back to work that they're safe and the guests are safe. So it's going to be a slow process. So I think there is hope, given our past rebound from other catastrophic events, and I think this won't be any different. It might take a little longer, but I do believe that it will rebound.
I do too, and I really appreciate you voicing that as well. So thanks for the time. We really appreciate you coming on, and hopefully next time we talk, it'll be under more pleasant situations about how we can handle the boom that Las Vegas is encountering now that people are coming back.
I'd like to have that problem. So thank you very much, Roger. It was good talking to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have no secrets, then leave discreetly.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the affiliate marketing site players trust when deciding where to gamble online. For information on how your online or social casino, sportsbook, or poker room can get involved, visit iGamingPlayer.com. To learn more about the plans to reopen the casinos in Nevada and other states, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.